You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Of Every Tribe and Nation. And now here is Dr. Meyer.
This is a hint of heaven, I thought to myself. No, I wasn't having a near-death experience. I was alive and well. Last year I had the privilege of riding on a float in the Rose Bowl Parade. For over 40 years, Lutheran Hour Ministries volunteers in California have entered a float in the Tournament of Roses Parade. Last year's float was a fishing boat. Not just any fishing boat, but one carrying Jesus and several of his disciples. Actually, it carried people dressed to look like Jesus and his fishermen disciples. And I was one of those fishermen. Stephen Christopher of Irvine was dressed as Jesus. I was overwhelmed by the response our float received along the parade route. Thousands and thousands of people from various races and in different languages showed their reverence, not to the float and to the people on it, but to the representation of Jesus. Older people stood up to show their respect. Moms and dads stooped down to their little children and pointed their attention to the float. Look, there's Jesus. Hispanics called out to him in their native language. Asians showed their reverence. Blacks shouted words of praise. Whites applauded. The response to the float was not in unison. The languages and people were so different. But the response was a unity of people reverencing and praising Jesus Christ. A hint of heaven, I thought. In Revelation chapter 7, St. John relates his vision of heaven. I saw a large crowd from every nation, tribe, people, and language. No one was able to count how many people there were. They were standing in front of the throne and the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Apart from an occasional hint, that unity seems so far away. These are the days when pundits get together and review 1995 and make their predictions for 1996. As you listen to them, the note of discord in this world is heard so often. The terrible, sinful slaughter of the past year in the Balkans, the hatreds in the Middle East, hatreds that took the life of Prime Minister Rabin. Unity, or disunity, was the subject of a controversial vote in Canada. In the United States, the O.J. Simpson trial surfaced painful talk about racial tensions. And these are only the well-known stories. The experts on the TV talk shows don't have a clue about the discord and dissension you may have experienced this year. Were you laid off from work? Sued in court? Separated or divorced from your spouse? Alienated from your children or parents? Did a dear one die? One of my favorite Christmas hymns has a haunting last line about heaven. Oh, that we were there! Oh, that we were there! That line is so poignant because we have only occasional hints of unity here in this world of discord. Now, if you want more experiences of unity in the new year, if you want more hints of heaven, then do as the people along the parade route did. Look to Jesus. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, he invites, and I will give you rest. That's an invitation to you from Jesus, from the real Jesus who himself experienced all the emotional and physical pain that comes from human strife. He knows what your life is like. Herod, the wicked king, tried to kill Jesus as a child. Jesus' family had to live the lives of refugees in Egypt. When they finally returned from Egypt and settled in Nazareth, There were some snide remarks about Jesus' unusual parentage. These same people in Nazareth tried to throw Jesus off a cliff when he suggested that they weren't quite as religious as they imagined. Oh, Jesus knows all about the lack of unity in the sinful world. He came to unite people, but many resisted him. Jesus' life produced contradiction. He came to unite people, but some would have nothing to do with it. The cross was the climax of that contradiction between Jesus' efforts for unity and mankind's persistence in dissension and disunity. Jesus was put to death because his message of God's love for all people had aroused the hostility of the religious authorities. So they persuaded the Romans to put him to death on a cross. As terrible as that execution was, Jesus suffered it willingly because he knew that through all generations, his cross would unite people. The drawing power of the cross is this. It is the place where forgiveness was earned for all your sins. Your sin, my sin, the sin of every person in this world is the reason why we have so much disunity. Sin is rebellion against God that hurts everyone. But at the cross, Jesus Christ earned forgiveness for the sin that separates us from God and from one another, and that so often embitters us toward one another. Jesus had predicted that his cross would be a unifying force in the world. In John chapter 12, verse 32, he said, "When I have been lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people toward me." I pray that you're among those who are drawn to the cross. You can make no better resolution for yourself in this new year than to be united with Jesus Christ through believing the good news of forgiveness that he has for you. If you've been hurt by dissension and strife, if you want more experiences of unity in the new year, and if you want to experience the perfect unity of heaven in the future, then drop your burdens at the cross of Christ. You don't have to have an astounding religious experience. You don't have to earn a halo. All you have to do is tell God you're sick and tired of being at odds with him and with others. Ask him to give you faith in Jesus. Ask to be united with him through faith in Jesus. There's an old English word, atonement. The word refers to the chief benefit of Christ's work. You are now in a state of atonement. That is, you are in a state of at-one-ment with God. This at-one-ment, this atonement with God, gives us new experiences of unity right here on earth. The Bible bears that out. Faith in Jesus Christ has brought together people who otherwise would have had nothing to do with one another. The shepherds of Israel were poor, despised people, but they were united with angels in the worship of the Christ child. The wise men were not of the land of Israel. They were foreigners. They're not like us, we'd say today. But they worship the Christ child, and they symbolize how God has spread the Christian faith beyond the borders of Israel. The Roman centurion who had a sick servant and the Roman soldier who stood at the foot of the cross were part of an occupying army that was hated by the natives. And yet their faith in Jesus Christ made them also a part of that great multitude of every nation, tribe, people, and language gathered around God and the Lamb. You see, through the good news of Jesus Christ, God is uniting people all around the world. When Jesus had died, he was restored to life by God on Easter. He was taken into heaven at the Ascension. And on Pentecost, he poured out his Spirit that unites diverse people in faith. Who heard the proclamation of Christ on the great day of Pentecost? Was it only people who look like us? Only people who speak our language? Listen to the unity that comes when the Spirit of God comes to diverse people in the good news of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 describes the diverse crowd that was gathered around the gospel. "We're Parthians and Medes and Elamites," they said. "We're people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the country near Cyrene and Libya. We're Jewish people, converts to Judaism, and visitors from Rome, Crete, and Arabia. We hear these men in our own languages as they tell about the miracles that God has done. The words spoken on Pentecost were not in unison, but they were one in the unity of faith. All those believers of past centuries are now in that great throng of every tribe and nation who are gathered around God and Christ the Lamb in heaven. Oh, that we were there! You don't have to wait for heaven to have new experiences of unity. You don't have to ride in the Tournament of Roses parade to have the experiences of unity here and now. Today, there are millions of people around the world who share this same Christian faith. At one with God, believers living in the world today are at one with one another. St. Paul describes it this way in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. You are all God's children by believing in Christ Jesus. Clearly, all of you who were baptized in Christ's name have clothed yourselves with Christ. There are neither Jews nor Greeks, slaves nor free people, males nor females. You are all the same in Christ Jesus. Oh, the world looks at us, the church, and sees disunity. It sees denominations that sometimes don't get along. It sees Christians who sometimes have trouble with one another. And then the world draws the conclusion that the church has nothing to offer. Some things haven't changed in 20 centuries. Some people still don't get it. Some still don't understand the message of faith in the cross. Martin Luther said, "If you judge the church according to reason and outward appearance, you are wrong. For you see people who are sinful, weak, afraid, sad, wretched, persecuted, and hunted out of house and home. But when you see that they are baptized, believe in Christ, give evidence of their faith by bearing good fruits, take up their cross with patience and hope, you have seen the truth. That is the true color by which people may know the Christian church." May I close with a suggestion? May I suggest a resolution that will give you new experiences of unity in 1996? Say the creed each day. "I believe in God the Father Almighty," and so it goes. You say it in your language, and know that people around the world are saying it in theirs. Say the creed each day and remember that you're not saying it alone. You're united with millions from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Say the creed each day and you'll become a worker for harmony in the world. How could you say, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins," and then go out and practice discord and strife? When you're tempted to lash out, to be at odds with someone, that creed reminds you that unity with the God of forgiveness should be demonstrated toward others. Say the creed each day, and you'll experience renewed hope. It reminds you that you and millions believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. When that comes to pass, you won't have any hints of heaven. You'll have it all. Perfect love and friendship will reign throughout all eternity. What a happy new year that will be. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.